Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindsets. Welcome to Foot Traffic, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your local business. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Foot Traffic. Today, I interview Julia, who actually has a local brick and mortar meat department. And oh my goodness, I can't tell you enough good stuff about Julia. She has been an amazing client, and we get into some really good stuff because she flat out shares, you know, she was vulnerable and said, my numbers are down a little bit from last year at this time. So we're talking about this in this episode. We're talking about the importance of tracking. I'm sharing with her what numbers she should be tracking, what's important ones that are red flags, and how to really start tracking where your customers are coming from. And I gave her a couple tips to really make sure that we don't drop the ball, because a lot of times we think, oh, I'll just ask them. And then guess what? We get busy. There's a line. And all of a sudden we don't ask, right? So I gave her some tangible things that she can take away, turn into real action items to get even better results. No matter what industry you're in, we are talking about reoccurring revenue, the importance of it, how to know if your product is good because numbers are down. So what does that mean? So we're really getting into just like some good questions that you might not be thinking to ask yourself. And the best part is, as I'm coaching her through this, you could be asking yourself, well, what is my answer? And how does this look? And then kind of go down that rabbit hole of, okay, what's next? Because we all really don't know. We can't go with our gut. We have to go with statistics and numbers. And when we say numbers are down, or I feel like numbers are down, okay, I always say to my team, do you feel like numbers are down, or are numbers actually down? Have you looked at the reports? Because I don't go off of feelings, right? I go off of numbers. What's winning on my Facebook ads? Which copy is working better? Which ad is working better? Not what does my gut think, or what do I think my customer wants? It's like, no, I need to know the facts, right? So that is what today's episode is all about, is give me the facts. What are the things I need to know to really help grow and scale my business? I know you are going to love Julia as much as I have loved working with her. Let's dive right in to Julia Foster's episode. Hi, Julia. Welcome to Foot Traffic. I'm super excited you're here.
Hi, Stacey. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited. So we've been working together now for quite a few months, and I definitely know about your business. I'm familiar, but for my audience, I would love for you just to quickly share what kind of small business you have and like what it is you offer.
Yeah, absolutely. So I own The Farm Stand, which is a local brick and mortar shop, and we're located in Ohio. Currently, we sell all Ohio-made foods, and we also sell all natural meat. The cool part about the local meat is all of the beef actually comes from my family farm, which is about 30 minutes away from our shop. We also offer a monthly meat subscription. So I have some subscribers, they choose what kind of meat they want and how much they want, and then they come and pick up a package every month. We also share a showroom. The Farm Stand shares a showroom with my cousin's business, which is called The Makery, and they do all repurposed furniture and home decor. So it makes marketing and running a business pretty interesting.
I love that. What city are you in Ohio?
It's Norton, Ohio.
What is the biggest, the most major city closest to you?
So we're close to both Akron and Cleveland. So we're in the Northeast Ohio area.
Okay. So I never told you this, but this is something that you could think about doing. So it sounds like, especially when you're talking like all Ohio products and like it's a very unique situation when you're talking like the people next door and all of that. You know, if you did like some sort of PDF or freebie, like 5-10 things you must check out when traveling to Cleveland, Ohio, and you make sure that you put in certain keywords so that it's popping up or it's searching for people traveling, I really think your store could be something where you want to go check out the local food, the local, you know, just something fun that they bought in Ohio too. That could be a really cool idea.
Yeah, I love that, because a lot of times we are focusing on people who are actually living in Ohio and living close to us. We could definitely pull a different crowd of people in by doing something like that.
Well, and so you have gone through our program where you're building funnels. So what's nice about this is you can make each funnel very niche. So you can keep the focus on your local person who, you know, is looking for maybe coming in weekly for meet or monthly for meet, but at the same time, you can be having a totally separate funnel that's focused on the traveler coming into town, into Cleveland. And it could be like this big thing that, hey, you like must see or must do. And you know what? I actually just went, I'm in Wisconsin, and about an hour and a half north of me is this location called Kohler. Now it's close to me, but I don't really know a ton about it. And what did I do? I typed in like kid friendly things to do in Kohler, Wisconsin, and a list of 10 things popped up. So that would be really cool for you to get on lists like that.
Yeah, I love that idea.
Okay, cool. So tell me, what are some of the struggles you're having right now? Like, how can I best be of service to you?
So like I told you before or earlier, is we started our subscription program. It's going pretty well. We've definitely brought in new customers. We've also gotten some existing customers to purchase more often and a little bit at higher price points.
Great.
But I'm seeing now that our sales in our store are kind of going down a little bit from where they were last year. And I'm just kind of having a hard time figuring out exactly why that is and like what's different.
Okay. So first, I want to acknowledge you for knowing your numbers, because a lot of people don't know, or they think like, well, it feels like we're down, right? And that is one of the worst things you can do. You need to know, are we down or are we not down? I don't care about feelings here. This is like, these are real facts. So the fact that you know your numbers is huge, because you can try to reverse this problem, right? Try to solve this problem. So, you're not positive why it's down. So let's kind of just look through this and analyze this. Have your prices gone up, or has maybe certain competitors in your area gone down? Maybe more saturation of other businesses like yours, anything like that?
There is one business that was very similar to mine that came in right around this time last year.
Okay.
I think they're pretty far. They're maybe 25, 30 minutes from us.
Okay.
I have noticed there's another local place that's also in the same town as us. They've really increased their advertising.
Mm. So that is big. And here's the thing. If they're increasing their advertising, they're getting more visible in front of your audience, right? So it could be that it's not that people aren't looking for your services or your product. They're getting it someplace else this year. So now when you say that you've seen they've increased their advertising, where are you seeing their ads?
A lot more on Facebook. I'm seeing they're also promoting through like the youth football. They weren't a sponsor last year, and I know they're a sponsor this year.
Okay. Okay. So this is good to know. And I'll tell you this, just because they're doing it does not mean that that's the thing that's getting the return. So when you look at youth football, we sometimes are like, oh, they're doing youth football. I need to do youth football, right? But is that really the source of these new leads? I mean, honestly, you can probably look at their Facebook ads a little bit more to really understand like what could you be doing to really reach that target. But again, it's testing, and then it's how did you hear about us? Actually knowing, you know, if we're doing parades, I want to know that you heard about me from the parade. I want to know if I should be taking my entire 4th of July off to be going into several parades, right? So I want you to be thinking about the same thing. It's like, what could you, let's say you want to test with youth football. If you test with them, what can you give them or what can you offer to know that it came specifically from youth football? So that, let's say you spent, I don't know, $1,000 on them. You know that, okay, we brought in 6 new clients from them. On average, our customers are spending this much money, you know, depending on how long they're with us. Okay, this really didn't bring us in a return, or it actually broke even or whatever that is. So are you doing anything like that where you can tell specifically where they're finding you from?
Not really.
Okay.
We try and ask, and we record to some degree.
Okay.
But it's hard to do it all the time when there's people like coming in and out and there's not really a chance to ask. We don't have anything like formal.
Okay, so what, that's a really good point, is you think, oh, we'll ask, we'll make a spreadsheet, right? And you do this manually, but then what happens when you get busy? There's just no time to document or to ask them, right? So what makes it a lot simpler is by giving them something. So for instance, what something that we did was we were handing out these crowns, and on the crown itself, there was this little coupon for like $20 gift card when with a new registration. And it said on there, must be used within 72 hours. So we basically are seeing people physically come in with the crown. So we don't have to document. It's like, take the crown, throw it away, not throw it away, like throw it on the counter. At the end of the night, we're like, oh wow, we have three crowns, right? So what could you be doing where they're physically handing you something, you throw it in the cash register, and now you can actually start to document. And the only reason this is so important is, again, it's like one of those things where you're like, well, I think people are coming from youth football. It feels like a great, you know, they're all families and they all eat food and this would make sense. But if we don't know it's actually the reason they're coming in, we could be wasting valuable dollars in the wrong spot, in the wrong marketing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, completely.
Okay. So I would definitely encourage you to come up with something that they're going to turn in, and I would make it be very different or make them mention a code or something so that it's another way for you to really track. Because just like you tracked your numbers, we also need to track what's working. Because let's say you are doing youth football and it's working really, really well, we need to go, hey, maybe we should increase our sponsorship. Maybe we should, or maybe we should stop doing it, right? We need to know whether or not we should be putting more eggs or less eggs in that basket.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay. Anything else that you're seeing your competitors doing?
Other than that, no, not really.
Okay. But so you're seeing them around town, which means other people are seeing them around town.
Yes.
So I really do want, I always tell people, keep an eye on your competitors, but don't be stalking them daily where you're just going to look identical to them because you're always up in their business. But it is good to know, okay, they're doing this and they're doing that. So what can we be doing? Now, are you running Facebook ads?
I am.
Okay, great. And how are they doing? What does that look like for you?
They're actually doing really well.
Great.
Yeah, I was really happy. So I put together a funnel from one of the funnels that we did in the course.
Amazing.
And at first I was like a little discouraged because I was giving away a free pound of ground beef, no purchase necessary. And it brought some people in, but we weren't getting a lot of people buying
the right
anything
people
with it. Well, we did a special on ground beef last weekend, and I had so many people, I want to say like 15 people came in with their email saying, oh yeah, we tried the ground beef and now we're buying 10 pounds.
Amazing. Okay. So I remember when you first came to me and said, they're coming in just for the beef and they're leaving. I'm like, ugh. Because what's happening is in the moment we thought, well, we're attracting people that like free stuff, right? They're literally coming in just grabbing this one thing. Now, sometimes you'll have great results right in the beginning. They'll come in and they'll be like, oh wow. And they'll keep buying other things. But you just don't know who you're attracting. So I remember I said to you in the moment, you know, is there some other special or something you could do when they show up? So let's say they come in and they're like, hi, Julia, I've got this, you know, coupon for a free pound of ground beef. And you, as like the person working the desk, actually say, oh, great. And you actually have unlocked another special of something else to try to upsell them, because these are people that like sales. They like specials, right? So how can we convert them? But I'm so happy to hear that you're saying it just took a little bit of time for them to go, ooh, but I really want to come back anyway. So that's good to hear. And it's good for you, Julia, because it means that you're really giving a quality product. You're letting them try you out and they're liking it enough to say, now I'm willing to pay for it. So that's great.
Yeah. And I was really happy because we even got a couple subscribers from that.
Amazing. Okay, cool. So trying to think which direction I want to head here. So first of all, just a couple key points. So she tried the funnel, wasn't completely happy in the beginning, but kept trying, kept tweaking, right? Did you make any actual changes to the funnel, or was it more like you just had to wait a little bit of time to feel the result?
I did a few tweaks to the funnel. I changed the audience a little bit, okay. But I still wasn't seeing much. I just let it go for a while. I figured I'd give it a month, see where it came. And then I started seeing results. So
amazing. So you gave it about 30 days. That's good to know. And can I ask you, what were you spending budget wise per day? Like what were you thinking?
It really wasn't high. I want to say for a while it was like $3 a day. And then I went down to $1 a day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And wow. And you were still getting people. So that's one thing I can tell you too, is locally, my leads are so much cheaper than when I am doing my consulting business and I can serve people all over the world. So if you're listening, you have a local brick and mortar, good news for you. Our Facebook ads are still relatively cheap. I am also getting about $1 a lead. So this is good news for people listening for sure. I'm so happy to hear that. So here's the thing. We need to track your numbers so well that we know if, let's say you spend, I'm just going to make these numbers up. Let's say you spend, you know, $300 a month on Facebook ads. And out of those 300, all of a sudden you're going to auto-populate this number by looking at your numbers now. Okay, based off of that, we're going to get, you know, 15 people to stop in with that coupon for the free beef, right? And out of those 15 people, we're statistically going to see within 30 days, 7 of them come back and they become weekly customers or whatever that is. You need to know those numbers so well to say, wow, this is a numbers game and I could put 600 on Facebook ads and start to generate more sales too. So I really want you to start tracking, and this could be something simple on a Google spreadsheet, but start tracking every single stage of it to see where could we be getting better at. Because think, if 15 people showed up with that coupon, what, and let's say 7 converted, well, what if we could get 8 to convert or 9 to convert? Those numbers will start to drastically change.
Yeah, I like that. What do you think? I'm just kind of thinking this at the moment now. So I do have access to like everyone. I can see everyone's what they bought, when they bought it. What about doing like a survey to those people and offering them like a discount or a free product or something and asking them where they heard?
Like, yeah, absolutely. Survey. Yeah, for sure. And you could, if you're going to do a survey, a couple questions that I love to ask current people is why did you start coming here? And then why are you still here? Like, why did you stay? Because and what's funny is they're usually different answers. So they might say, well, I really wanted to try out something new in town. And then all of a sudden, but they're staying because they found out it was all natural and it was a local farm. And you're like, oh, wow, I didn't realize. So maybe new people don't come because it's a local farm, but they stay because of that. All of a sudden your advertising changes when you understand, I'm making these things up, I have no idea what they're going to say. But when you get that information, you're going to start promoting that a lot more when you know those reasons.
Yes, I love that idea.
Okay, cool. So let me repeat that again. So the first question is, why did you buy from us, like initially? And then the second question is, why do you continue to buy from us? And if this is a customer base that maybe they haven't bought in a while, you could say, and if you haven't purchased in the last 3 months or 6 months, whatever you want to say, what is the reason and how can we better serve you? Like, how can we, just go above and beyond? What are you looking for, type of thing? But make it short and sweet when you're asking those questions. Okay. I like this. I'm excited to hear what happens with that survey.
Yeah. And this actually kind of segues into another issue I've been having is I'm having a little bit of a hard time nailing down my target audience. Because I feel like we have such a wide spread of people. So I try to target, like when I do a Facebook ad, I'll do one towards moms and make the ad focus towards mom. Mm-hmm. One towards like single adult men. Because it's very different when you're selling meat because you really can't service so many people.
Yeah.
And like, if you look at our subscriber list right now, it's all over the place.
Okay. So this might be something where first you can always test. So you can do separate ads, two women, two men, right? Do those people, see what the numbers say and just stick more money where it's working. But then at the same time, it might not be about targeting a male or female or a certain age, more of a range. It might be more about like getting ready for the, I'm thinking Packers, but whatever your football is, like getting ready for this game, like, or like something with birthdays, you know, getting ready for the next party or like holiday parties. So you could be targeting more of something that people need versus a woman or a male that's single or married, et cetera. Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
Okay. I mean, with you, food, it's like parties, right? So it's like the barbecues in summer and then, you know, maybe a Halloween party, getting it catered or the football games. I'm thinking you are very time sensitive with what's the activity going on because you're such a social thing. And then as well as like back to school and like meal prepping and oh my goodness, like there's just so many things we could talk about. Yeah. And obviously with meal prepping back to school, now we're going to target moms. But other than that, it could be anybody.
Okay.
Because a single guy might see, oh, wow, you can just go there and they've got all this ready and I don't have to do anything. That sounds exciting, right? So I think it just depends on the language you're using in that copy.
Okay.
Okay, cool. Other questions that are popping up as we're talking?
So with all this takes obviously a lot of manpower. Mm-hmm. So I'm still by myself. We have hired since the last time I talked to you, we hired someone else to work the counter at the store. So that's been great.
Good.
But I definitely know I need to start bringing in more people. And I think that's just kind of what I'm struggling with. Like, who do I bring in to make sure I'm making enough money to pay them, obviously. Yeah. And like, where is it going to be most valuable?
Yeah. So I remember, I think your business is about 2 years old. Is that right?
Yeah. We'll be 2 years at the end of September, actually.
Okay. So 2 years old, you're still, you've recently been working completely as a solo entrepreneur. You just brought on your first person. So this is a pretty common situation, especially with how many years you've been in business. And now it is going, what can I get rid of off my plate? What could I hire out? And then not only that, but what position is actually going to allow us to make more money? So maybe hiring somebody at a lower price point behind the counter is going to free you up. I mean, when you're talking, you're building funnels and Facebook ads and all of that, that's a really high dollar amount. It's a great place for you to be right now, spending your time on marketing. But where else could you be outsourcing or having somebody jump in? So it's either you're going to hire for results for people to come in and help do some bigger things, or you're hiring more of a lower level entry position that can release you from doing whatever this $10 hour work is so you can spend on the bigger picture. So are there a couple things in mind that you know you're doing that you should be probably delegating?
A lot of the like recording numbers and okay. doing like a sales report and contrasting it with the last year's month. So I'm kind of leaning towards more maybe somebody to just take some of the stuff off of my plate, like the $10 okay. an hour stuff off my plate so I can focus on more marketing.
Yeah.
It's just like that and like checking the inbox for like customer service stuff. Cause a lot yeah. of times, like just simple questions, like how much does this cost?
Okay. So it could almost be like a customer service slash like assistant type role to help you as like a right hand almost.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I think what people get so nervous about is they're thinking, okay, $10 an hour, 40 hours a week. Oh, this is going to add up. And remember, you don't have to hire somebody full-time immediately, right? You can start with 10 hours a week and $10 an hour. It can be as simple as that. And some of you are thinking, okay, for that price point, yeah, that would be nice. That would free up a lot. I mean, imagine getting back 10 hours a week, 40 hours a month, you guys. Like an entire week is coming back to you. So I do think that we have to start to ask ourselves, like, what can we get off of our plate? Now, I would love for you to find somebody to report those numbers to you. And even like if you're the head of marketing, and I think that's a great place for you because you happen to be good at it, right? Not all of us are excellent at building funnels and Facebook ads and all of that. But if it's something that you are pretty good at and you don't mind it, I would be holding on to that role for a while because it's a very high, I should say it's producing revenue, right? So it's really helping grow your business. So I think that's great. But I do think for you having somebody, maybe you're doing the marketing, but they could be pulling those Facebook ad numbers, or they could be pulling the opt-in for the funnels. And this is how many people showed up. And this is what that did. Like the little tedious stuff that we still will be doing, somebody else could be giving those numbers to us so we can be working even faster in the high paying dollar amount jobs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes complete sense.
Okay. Yeah. So if you were to hire somebody, how many hours do you think you'd be looking for? And are you looking for somebody? I mean, I don't know what the going rate is if you would be paying somebody where you are. I always say like, look at what is Target paying people, right? So my Target's paying about 12 bucks an hour. So, you know, what would you be thinking would be that starting salary for somebody who's going to be doing just like these little admin type tasks?
I think probably between 12 and 14 an hour.
Okay. And how many hours do you feel like you could maybe afford to outsource right now?
Probably like 10 to 20.
Okay. And you could always say too, 10 hours with potential for 20 or more, because people want to, and I always tell people when they come on to, when I hire them, I always say things like, listen, this is right now 10 hours and it could be 10 hours for you if you wanted just to keep it. But if you're looking to grow, if you're looking for someplace to grow into the company, we are definitely that place. Because if you show how valuable you are, we're going to keep finding things for you to do, right? So if they're like, oh, I really wanted more than 10 hours, And you're telling them, you know, by helping me do these things, this could be a definitely a long-term position and it could be a lot more hours. People get excited when they see the vision of something bigger.
That's great.
Yeah. The right people, I should say.
Yeah.
And I even say too, sometimes I'm like, this is a part-time position with full-time potential, meaning it could turn full-time at some point, because let's say you hire this girl or guy for $12 an hour and they just blow your mind. They are so productive. They are getting so much stuff done, so much off your plate. Would you keep them for full-time? If you could afford them and if they continue to bring value to your company, you would figure out a way to not lose them, right?
Absolutely.
So I think we always can say with full-time potential, because it's the truth. I would always hire somebody for more hours if they're bringing tremendous value to my business.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, cool. Where are you finding, where did you find this other person? Like, where are you hiring people from?
She actually works with one of my, well, works at one of my cousin's children's schools.
She
used to work there and that's how she met her. So.
Got it. Okay, cool. So when you're looking to hire this next position, where will you go? Like, will this be something you're trying to find locally from like a Facebook post, or are you going to use like an Indeed, or what do you typically, or have you not had to do this yet?
I haven't had to do
okay.
this yet. That's why I'm kind of struggling with figuring out exactly how to do it. Like even when I worked in a corporate job, I didn't really do a lot of hiring.
Gotcha.
Very minimal. So I don't have a ton of experience.
Got it. No worries. So, and I always tell people, don't worry, because they're way more nervous than you are. Even though you're really nervous to ask questions and to go through it, they're more nervous. So don't worry about that. I feel like even a Facebook post, maybe a sign at your brick and mortar, and then even looking at Indeed.com, because it is free and you can type in the city, you can say it's local, you could definitely find some really great opportunities there as well, and it won't cost you anything. So a lot of times word of mouth and referrals are the best people that we get to work for us too. So I think that's great.
Yeah. And we do have a lot of people who come in and ask if we're hiring. So.
Oh, cool. Okay. That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, it's never too soon to put the sign up or to put the post out, because it could take you months before you find the right person. Right. And you can be picky. You can afford to be picky when you are going, I'm not desperate right now. I don't have to have somebody working for me, but if the right person came along, it would be nice. So I just recently hired an executive assistant. And for about 6 weeks, the job posting sat up and we were particular because I didn't need her yesterday, right? I had time to be a little bit pickier, to be flexible. And 6 weeks in, we found a really amazing asset to our team. And if I would have been desperate and I would have had to hire somebody within 7 days of posting the position, I probably wouldn't have found the quality that I did, right? So don't think it might be too soon to post. We are always posting job postings. I actually think with my studio that we have them running 24/7. Like we never ever turn off job postings because again, if the right person comes along, we're going to snatch them up whether or not we even maybe need them at that point.
That's great.
Okay. Any last minute questions or any follow-up, anything else I can do for you?
I think you answered most of my questions.
Okay, cool. I'm super excited. Oh, one thing we didn't talk about was the subscription. So this is kind of something that I think I put in your head. maybe you were already thinking about it, but I was like, oh, I feel like this could be good. So I remember when I met you, I think I had just bought ButcherBox, which is like this meat subscription company. And I was like, oh, first of all, I kind of like your idea way better because it's local and you know where it's coming from. And there was just so many things where I'm like, this could be something big for you. Now you really have just started it, but have you seen it increase maybe like a one-time buyer to somebody who's now reoccurring? Has any of that happened yet?
Yes. And I love
cool.
it.
Oh,
so
amazing.
I know there's one person in particular who they would come in and I don't know the exact numbers off my head, but say they spent $50 two times a month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now they're spending $160 every single month.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing.
I'm just meat.
Yeah.
And it's definitely gotten some people that I know come in just every now and then to come in every single month.
Mm-hmm. I think the reoccurring is so important in any business. And even if you're thinking like meat, like that just seems like the weirdest reoccurring thing. Well, why? We are in constant need of making meals, right? So why not make it easier for our customer? But then you know, I hope that when I talk to you, you know, 6 months from now or a year from now, you're saying like, no, this many percentage of our people are reoccurring and we have this many people where we know they're coming in every single month. All of a sudden it makes it a lot more predictable. And I bet that increased your customer, not just frequency, but the revenue amount. That's amazing.
Yeah, it really has. And we give a lot, like we send out an email with each box they're getting with recipes and different things to do with their meat. And we have, you can add on certain items each month and you get a discount. So just really pushing the add-on items and stuff has really helped.
I love that so much. And I think the complimentary recipes and what to do with this meat is amazing. Because sometimes people quit because they're just like, I just don't know what to do with it. I just don't know what I'm supposed to do next. And if you're telling them and holding their hand, you will have a lot less turnover and people dropping. So I think that is amazing.
Yeah. And I will say, with the program that we did working with you, I kind of had always been like an idea to be like, okay, yeah, we should do this subscription box, but I didn't really know how it looked. But like having a whole group of people and like people to ask questions, how to run the funnels, like really just gave me the push I needed to really start it and really just get it done. And it's been awesome since I started it.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear that. Yeah. And I give you credit because obviously you're a very unique industry. There wasn't like 17 other meat people in there, like helping and people in your industry, but you still were like, listen, I'm going to take this and run with it. And I'm going to tweak it to my industry. And you did a phenomenal job. So thank you for showing up and really just implementing and taking action. You are still so young in this business, but by setting this foundation, you are doing huge, huge things for your business. So Julia, thank you for your time. I've appreciated you. I've enjoyed working with you so much, and I just can't wait to see what's going to come for your business.
Yeah, thank you so much. I've loved working with you too.
And that's it for another episode of Foot Traffic. But don't worry, if you're craving more business building guidance, I've got two places to send you. First, be sure to join our free Facebook group at foottraffic.club. You'll get support from other small business owners like you, plus exclusive content from me. And if you're looking for more actionable advice and step-by-step resources for getting more people in the door, head over to foottrafficpodcast.com. It's time we take your business to the next level.